Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. It's a beautiful night in the studio. Whiskey in hand. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Great conditions.
Yeah, we're coming good. A sketchy day today. It was a sketchy day today for me, too. Trying to hook up some drains and it hurricane for a bit, and then I was nice and sunny at lunch. Didn't really understand what was going on there. But, yeah, just another shit Melbourne almost summer day.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty over it. I've got good things next week. We need this to turn around quick.
Yep.
Because good things is not getting rained on. That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
But yeah, I've got like 3.5 weeks of work or something now, which means you must be off, right? School holidays already?
17 more get-ups.
Okay, cool.
We go through to the 19th.
Oh, same as me.
Yeah. But yeah, keen. Keen. Let's get there.
Yeah, very much so. I'm very excited. Something I saw that you were keen for was the Golden City Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And you actively tried to sign up to MA40, you piece of shit.
I definitely did. I definitely did.
And what was the result?
I thought Disc Golf Scene was glitching. It was just like, it wouldn't let me proceed. And then I got this like little red warning that says, MA40 has the 920 cap. And I was like, oh, what's Reese playing at here? Like, what's he capping divisions for? So I do a bit of Googling and, turns out that's just the state of play that has just flown me by all year with all this shit talking that I might play MA40. Turns out that it's not currently a viable option. So that's problematic, but I'll be 919 before I know it.
I did forget about that. So MA1 for a top pro, it's like 975 or something to play MA1. But yeah, it gets to 920 pretty quick if you're a cash-taking big dog like yourself.
Yeah.
So MA1, is that where you signed up?
No. MP40. Can't bring myself to do it. I can't essentially admit that I've just been like making errors for the last couple of years and I should have been playing MA1. Like, and that's what that would essentially admit to. So I'm a pro disc golfer and I'm going to continue being a pro disc golfer, sadly, until I am 919 rated. And I'm just obviously giving people money until that day.
Well, I hope you get smoked by Rubenberg and have a shit time.
I will.
That's all I gotta say. You could be lead card with me, Chris Scott, and insert fourth player. But no, you don't have a shit one. That's all.
Yeah.
Have you seen these battle packs?
No, what are you talking about?
You know how every disc brand now has like mystery box or this and that, like whatever random shit that sucks people in?
Yep.
The newest one is a Discraft battle pack.
Okay.
And it's Paul McBreath cross AB.
Yeah.
Mooners.
Sick. This, and I've seen the glow ones. I saw some glow ones of this.
Yeah.
Okay, that is elite. That was elite what I saw.
Okay. See, I just think it's trash. I was really curious to hear what your thoughts. I think that like people are just getting them and they're like, yeah, sick. Got these two new Lunas. Like, you don't even throw your Lunas. Like, no one throws Lunas. Like, what are we doing here? But everyone wants them. And people are trying to, like, I saw like a ripping, like they do with cards, like a ripping video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Who sent us the glow one? Was that Pat Utry?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Pat Utry sent us, some photo of some mad cats getting glow. But I'm pretty sure, like, I didn't realize they were just Lunas, so maybe I misinterpreted this, because when I saw it, you know how they released those sick zones that had like the Mario and Luigi themes,
mm-hmm.
Which I think looks sexy as. When I saw this picture and now I'm looking at it again, that's what I thought it was. But now that I'm looking at it closely, it's not as exciting as I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he got some like, because they're just like invisible stamped glow discs, which look like epic, but obviously, I was drunk or high or something when I looked at this. And in my head, I was like, oh, he's got like invisible stamp Mario and Luigi. Nah. That's elite.
So, because they've got whatever stamps are. There's like a like a standard stamp and then like a, a Macbeth and what's your name, AB stamp. But I don't know, they give you like a chart that shows you which ones are rare and which ones aren't. Like they've full marketed it to suck people in and they've done a great job and I don't get it. they had a billion of them at Oz Champs and I saw Ed. They might have been even in Blaze packs. I'm not 100%. No, I couldn't because that was a prodigy. But anyway, there's a billion of them there and I saw Ed had one. Our mate Ed, and he looked like he didn't give a fuck at all, and it was great. I love that because he ripped them open. They're like, "Oh my god, you got the black ones." He's like, "All right." So I don't know. It's just like it seems like a fake scarcity thing. I never really understood the cards too, just for collecting. Like I got a shit ton of Pokemon cards, but that was for funsies.
Yeah,
and then now they're doing it with discs, battle. I don't know. Is it they call them battle packs? Like, are you meant to be battling someone? With these, like, I don't get it.
Like Beyblades.
Yeah. Like, it's probably got to do. I think they have a YouTube channel where they do battles between Paul and AB with Lunas. Yep. Like a Lunar battle.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, is that what the point is? You're meant to be. I don't know. Anyway, this is like crazy. They got the Gyropalooza stuff, which is like $700 for 15 mystery discs. I didn't understand that. And now this one, I don't get this either. Maybe I'm just a Grinch, but I don't like it. Just buy.
I think you're the Grinch.
Just buy the disc you want.
Are you familiar with the course maintenance crew and the course maintenance stamps?
No.
See, that's also just like good marketing. And I'm like, that's the sickest stamp. And I'm like, I could get around this disc. But there's this long, and I think this is playing into their YouTube channel. But Ezra and Goose have like a long running joke all year that they're like, they have like a hidden channel and it's the course maintenance channel. And like, whenever they bump into a tree that they don't like on the course, they're like, check out our other channel to see course maintenance later tonight. Uh-huh. And then they've released these buzz saws, which have like this sick, like chainsaw type shit going on. There's like course maintenance stamp and it looks really cool.
See, that'll like. I got no problem with that. It's just like, oh, I want that disc. I'll buy that disc.
Yeah.
But buying the battle pack and like, oh, I got the normal blue ones. And then other people are like, oh, I got the black ones. I'm on a glow and just jerking off on them. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah. And I'm sure they're doing great out of it. So I should just shut the fuck up. But I don't like it. I'm shaking my fist at it. Speaking of shaking her fists, I don't know about you, but I copped a little bit of shit for us not going over the Colac results because there was about 15 divisions and 30 players. So that means that half the field had a win. So I told some people we would recap Lake Colac launch. I heard the course was pretty fun, but it was just a lot of really short technical holes. So a bunch of apparently that Dinka at Diwa.
Okay.
Apparently it was just 18 of them. So I don't know. I didn't play it. That's what I heard. But we had MP40, Richard Lewis Shell took down Ryan Nicholson. Not even close. As big a gap as you'll ever see. So poor Ryan. He runs all these tournaments. I never seen him win one.
So, yeah.
Sorry, buddy. But well done, Richard. In MA1, Juan gets it done by one stroke over Penn with a 1,004 rated round one.
Oh. So,
big. Got to be Juan's first 1,000 rated round, I would imagine.
Yeah, surely.
Surely. And good field. Like, Juan had, for a six-person field, Juan takes down Penn and Ethan Lewis, both very good slingers. Barnett, Matty Farina, and Tommy Jankar in there as well. Matty Farina doing all right, starting to climb back up the ratings. So
there you go, 906-918. Yeah, well above rating.
Yeah, that's where he used to live.
Jankar did not go into that weekend thinking he was coming last.
Yeah, no way. But apparently there's just no use for all that power, Tommy.
Yes.
MA50, Carey gets rolled again for what feels like six events in a row, but Simon Farrar gets it done by 10 strokes. 10 strokes over Carey, and then a further six more over Mike Vanderlinden. Is Simon Farrar sneaky awesome now?
Possibly.
I reckon that's... I can't look into it because he doesn't...
940-odd weekend.
Yeah, but I feel like he had that, like, the last event too. I can't look into it because he doesn't have a PDJ.
Not signed up, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like he smoked his last event too. So he's one to watch out for. I mean, he's maybe sneaky good. In MA3, Alex Ritchie still on its hair. So gets it done just by the one stroke over Luke Schruers. But, yeah, just wins. All he does is win at the moment. So, big effort by him. And one pretty good round above rating. The other one, not as much. But that'll still tick him up a little, I reckon.
It will. It will.
Hmm. What about day two or day one, whichever one this one wasn't, the other half of the field?
Yeah, yeah. Great question without notice.
Sorry, I thought you might have had them both up.
No, I did. That was like, there's not many players. I can't believe you said there was 30 players. Okay, so that was just one of the days. Yeah. But what's the division that played on the other day?
I've got them up. So if just find Nate Parrish's name or just type in Colac. But Nate Parrish was the solo man in MPO and he was about...
Did he get it done?
He got it done. But yes, he was about Parrish. Five strokes short of what Juan did in MA1. So I'm going to have to count it as a loss anyway. Sorry, Nate.
Yeah, fair enough.
MA40, one of the few divisions with some people in it. Lee Thompson by 10 over Bang. Jace Wiedner. Jace was one of the people who wanted a shout out, so I'm not really sure why he wanted that, seeing as he's 10 strokes back.
He did have a tasty 866 event.
Oh, there we go. That'll do it. So, yeah, well above the rating. Takes down Ryan Nicholson.
And to be honest, he's everyone that he's taken down are all higher rated than him. That so is true. He's up and about. He's up and about.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, well done there, Jace. You're up now. You got the final two?
I do. So, Mitchie Evers, 8 strokes over Leith Joy in MA2. Pretty tidy for a 900 event or so. And then Daniel Santamaria gets done over Matthew Redmond and William Wong. Well done, Danny.
I think you might have one or two too many A's in there, but yeah.
Santamaria.
That sounds a bit better. Yeah. He's been popping up at a bunch of Melbourne social days too, I think. So
yeah.
I think he's a regular now. So good,
yep.
Good win for him. And
a 900 rated round in there. So look out.
Yeah, he'll be moving up to MA3, I'm sure.
And before we just crack on too long, it really doesn't feel that long ago that I was like, I'm going to get PDG number 300,000.
Oh, yeah.
How is it that there's this like William Wong plane that's 316,000 essentially?
That's crazy.
Where did 15,000 PDG members come from?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that really wasn't that long ago. What did you end up with again?
I didn't get him one. Fuck him.
Oh, let's go for 350. You dickhead. The other thing that we got, I copped some shit for, was not shouting out the tipping winner for the Melbourne social season. And you can probably guess who gave me shit for that. It was old Matty Boy, because he took it out.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty comfortably in the end, kind of toying with him. I think last round he's like, oh, I'll just flip a coin heads or tails because no one can get me. And I think we had like fucking 6 people pull out or some bullshit like that. So anyway, Matty gets it done over the old man. Jeff's very good at tipping. Yep. Just all kinds of tipping, every tipping, except for the pick 6, but he's very good at that. Chu in third, and Vinja, who after round
what a comeback.
After
what
round comeback. One got a all tips entered 0. And we gave him so much shit for that. All the way up into 4th and missed the Werribee tipping week as well. Got a 0 for that, but forgot to put their tips in. So 2 donuts and was only 7 behind Matt. So could have been very spicy if they had known what they were doing in round one. But what a huge comeback.
Massive. I didn't end up putting my tips in for final round, given that I was not really within reach of the podium. But I'm just going to read out my results here. 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3. Then I had a big week 6. Ooh. But then it's 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 2. It was pretty shit.
Big.
It was pretty shit.
No good. But yeah, we had 30, that person didn't tip at all. 30 Ebbets. I added, I think two of them got added super, super late. So we had 33 consistent tippers. I reckon next season we might even have some more, and I'll suss some prizes. I'll find a way to get them. They might come out of the Ruffy Rumble budget. I'm not sure. We'll just keep that on the down low. But I reckon we get some prizes. I'll do something for like top two or something like that. And I'll have a look through and see. I'll try to find something like outright week winners, something like that, to find out if there's another prize so that if you end up missing a week, it's not like torching you. Because I wasn't exactly ready every single Thursday, if we're going to be honest. So I don't want anyone like my old man having a big sook because he missed out on his tips for something.
Yes.
I'll find some other thing. I just want to make sure that it's not like that same person will always come first. But and I might change the way people tip. They might get a little more aggressive trying to get week wins or something.
All right.
But yeah, a bit of fun. Wasn't that much work, so happy to do it again. And on next season I'll put out the invite link again, or I'll have to figure out how that works when I'm changing seasons. But anyway, we'll try to get it up. We'll see if we can get 50 people in it. It'd be sick.
Yes, please.
Speaking of sick, these transitions are going all right. I'm on a bit of a roll with the transitions. We've got the junior club champs this weekend. So Alex had told us about that. I think he either came up on the pod or he sent us a voice message or something like that. But I think he said he's got about 7 or 8 kids playing at the moment, but there's 4 more at least that were keen and had some conflicts, and they're trying to get a few more out there. So it won't be a big day, but should be a fun day. If any of you kids are keen, they're doing some come and try stuff and with it as well. And you know, it's club champs, but it's also going to be a bit of a casual, fun event. So yeah, get him involved. Contact Alex or Ross. Should be a little fun. They got a nice little mini, really cool looking mini for prizes. It looks good.
Yeah, I've got their names up. So it's looking like Anita Weber scrapes in, still gets to play FJ18, even though we saw her neck in a bottle of champagne on socials this week, and she has turned 18. We've got Charlotte Davies in FJ15. We have Mia and Quinn playing FJ12.
Oh, Quinny. Nice.
We got Clay Baker, MJ18. And then we've got Marcus, Reese, and Tobias all playing MJ15. So good luck, juniors.
Was Clay the kid from Deer Park or whatever that we shouted out, we got told about the other week? I've already forgotten that kid's name.
I can't remember. Doubt it. Yeah, because didn't that kid go and play Gambia?
Maybe. Doesn't mean
the
he can't
kid
play.
The kid that we shouted out.
Doesn't mean he can't play, play club jams. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And Alex also said that he's working on the Summer Cup series at the moment. So Hot Start will be on once again. I'm not going to be part of that, though. I'll be away, which sucks. Churchill, which is the new course, will be the 11th of Jan. And the Ruffy Rumble is going to be included in the Summer Cup this year as well. So I've just spent way too long making a risk assessment, a event assessment, and sending that off to the council today, which was a pain in my ass, but that should be good to go the last weekend in January. So I think it's January 31st and Feb 1st is the plan. So keep an eye out for that. And they're hoping to add 2 or 3 more in late December or Jan for the Summer Cup. So I'm sure we'll get something good going for that. And if anyone's keen to TD any of the events, just hit up Alex Evans, please.
Yeah, cool.
We'll make something happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should be, Ruffy Rumble should be good. Should be definitely basically the same layout, run it back. I've got to figure out whether I switch the divisions around more like what Geelong has done and some of these other events have done, so you can double up more.
Yeah.
Or if I lean more into making the course a little different.
Yeah.
And then keeping the same kind of layout and having a bit of a harder thing. So I'll have a think about that. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Yes, please.
I've got Tiger Woods written down here, and it was because a very nice stat came across. There's like a billion crazy Tiger Woods stats. I don't know much about golf, but I see all this stuff, and it's wild, some of his untouchable stats. But one of them that sort of I saw and I found very interesting, we could apply to disc golf, and it'd be a bit of a challenge as well. So there was a stretch, I deleted the screenshot, but I remember the number. But it was between, you know, X date and X date at the peak of his powers, where there was 32 holes in a row where Tiger Woods one putted.
Okay.
And I think in disc golf, that's way easier. And yeah, there's abso-fucking-lutely no way I've ever done it. Like, 32 holes in a row? Surely not. One putted, you think? I'm counting tap-ins and everything. You reckon you've ever done that? 32 in a row?
Yeah, definitely.
So you've had like whole, like, a, you know, two rounds in a day where you've like maybe not missed, or you've missed one on either hole 3 or hole 15 or something.
I reckon, yeah. Are we including C2?
Yeah, man, putts.
If we're including actual C2. Putts.
I'm not like, not like throw-ins, but like legitimate ones where you think you're going to have a crack.
If we're including C2, I'm less confident.
Mm.
But I think like 32, like C1 looks in a row, I've made yes for sure.
That seems wild.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. I'll do it. Yeah, we'll do the challenge. No C2s then. So
yeah. C1's still hard, but it's like hard, it means hard. You can't miss. Obviously, you got to go 100% from C1, like for a couple of rounds. Probably for three events, like, because you'll only get like 12 to 14 C1 putts, or whatever it might be. But I at my peak, I'm for sure did it, and I think I could do it again.
Oh, that's wild. Well, that's the challenge. You got to beat Tiger Woods. So, if anyone gets on a bit of a streak, just let us know. So start counting them.
We should
be on it. Like PDJ would help if you've got the thing, but just social days are fine as well. I'm not talking casual rounds. Casual rounds can eat a dick, but anything where you're actually keeping a score, just keep track of them. C1 putts, 32 in a row is the goal. That's what you got to do to be better than Tiger Woods.
All right, I'm going to bring up your disc right now.
I don't think you're going to get
You said social days count?
Yeah, social days count. Anything where you're like deliberately, when you keep an actual score and you're only throwing one disc, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm on a bit of a roll.
What do you mean? Oh, at the moment?
At the moment, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm in play because I'm pretty sure I went 100% from C1 in my very most recent round. How does your disc work these days? Here we go, rounds. This is such a pain in the ass. All right, so I played Stoney, and I went -11, and I did. I went 100 from C1.
How many is that, though?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm counting.
Okay,
so it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Fuck. That's that's pretty good. That's a lot of the way there.
It's a lot of the way there.
When do you play next? You don't play next to a Golden City Classic. Good luck.
Thank you.
But yeah, take a note of that. Put 17 down and we'll see how you go.
Yeah.
See, what do you got? 15 more to tie?
15 to go. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah, you'd have to go 100% at Golden City Classic, I reckon.
Yep.
Sick. Okay, cool. Let us know how you guys go too. Play along at home.
Yep.
All right, Nationals. That was that happened on the weekend. That was big.
It happened. It happened. It did. It definitely happened.
Were you watching along at home?
I was watching lots. I was watching lots for sure. Were you?
Yes. Yeah, I missed a lot of. Well, I had, like, the final round was on in the background.
Yep.
Because I was at a mate's house for his birthday. He wanted to watch the Grand Prix, which the same deal was basically just on in the background while we drank cocktails and talk shit. But it was kind of anticlimactic that fourth round anyway.
Yeah.
I called it, didn't I?
Yeah, he did. This is exactly what you said would happen.
I think my exact words were, there's no way Blake could lose.
Correct, yes. That is definitely part of the sentence that you said.
Yes. Fuck, I felt good after round one. I was like, yeah, watch him. Here he goes. He's not getting it. He's not fucking getting it. God, he's so good, though.
So good. So, yeah, I put a stat up on socials. I don't know if you saw that. But yeah, he started the event with a mere 980. But if you ignore that, he played over 1040 golf for the next three rounds.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
Yep, he's just way too good. What a jet. And this is this is probably the first time I can remember just the Aussie big dog going into the big tournament and big dogging him.
Yep.
So that's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. There might be no real limit to what this kid can do.
No. Correct.
How old is he now? He's 18 now, right?
Must be, yep.
Yeah, but that's still very young. And he seems very committed. It'll be really cool to see. I'm sure he's probably playing Sizzler or something early next year, and we can check. Oh, he's going over to New Zealand.
Is he doing many of them?
He's got three of them on his thing. So that'd be awesome to watch.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm sure he'll get his way onto some coverage as well, so that'd be cool. But he's got Taranaki, the Australasian Open, and the New Zealand Disc Golf Open.
Yeah,
so.
Fuck yeah, Blake.
Sick. Really, really keen for that. But yeah, he was just good, man. Just good at everything. Forwards and backs, he was putting all right. None of them were putting good, though.
None of them were putting good, man. Jesus.
It's hard watching Aussie disc golf sometimes because it's just like, how are you? Like, they're not getting 32 in a row.
Yeah. And, like, it's what's, like, double annoying about it is, like a few of them don't keep stats.
Oh, I hate that.
Because, I hate that. But, like, I think I'd be less inclined to keep stats if I was that shit too.
I think if you're in NPO, it should be mandatory.
Yeah.
Like it pisses me off so much. I look at it, I'm like, come on, man, just let me know how you're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all kind of shit. But it was a really good battle, actually, for second, third, and fourth. The same four dudes were on feature card and then all the rest of the way through. And no one really threatened to get in there. It was 9 strokes difference between Bainey and Jack Mathey in fifth. But yeah, Alex only got it done by 2 over Dave and then near 4 back to Bainey. So pretty tight, all of them with some pretty handy numbers. But yeah, Dave, a bit of a letdown. Would it be under 1,000 rated event or just on it?
1,001 event, yeah.
Yeah, 1,001. That's, that's a stroke and a bit worse every round. So wouldn't have got him close to Blake, but still, that's a couple down events in a row.
Mm-hmm.
For Dave, so not good to see. We'll have to see how that ends up shaking out for him. And Bainey copped a bit of a 2-stroke penalty for a misplay on hole 18.
Correct.
Did you catch it live? Were you calling up the TD and letting him know?
I was not tuned in live for that drama. And to be honest, my chat was obviously blowing up. The next morning or whatever it was. And so then when I tuned in the following night, I was like, hang on, let me just go back to round 3 and see what actually happened here. If I read it correctly, Jason and Matty didn't even really pick up on the fact that he was misplaying. So it's all really kind of like after the fact that they figured this out.
Yeah, for sure. So I didn't catch it live and then I'd seen in a chat that he misplayed, so I went back and watched it again and didn't catch it again. And I had to ask, I was like, what did he do wrong? And then someone said about the relief area, and then I sort of looked up what the rule was, and I was like, oh, okay, shit, I didn't really cotton on to that. But basically, for anyone who might have missed it, he landed in a he landed just ahead of a weird little area where they had flagged for not casual relief. Man, what was it called? There was some other, like, just a casual area, maybe.
Yeah.
Remember, or relief area, something like that. I can't remember the exact name of the rule, but basically what it means is if you land in that area, you can take your lie back just outside the area. So, like, immediately once it's no longer in that area, back in the line of play from the basket. And so Bainey was ahead of it, and his run-up would have to go through it or something. And so he thought that was sufficient, so he took it back along the line of play. And then took like a meter. He stepped out his meter. He's like, oh, yeah, get a meter. So A, you don't get a meter. B, he didn't land in it, so he can't move. So basically he just moved his disc back and threw from a different spot.
Yeah.
And that's what copped the misplay and the two-stroke penalty. But, yeah, apparently it's only if your lie, which is like the A4 piece of paper behind your disc, if that is in that casual area at all, then you can move it. But it wasn't. And yeah, they had a bit of, the group had a bit of discussion, but I guess none of them knew the rules. I sure as hell didn't. And Bainey just seemed confident, so they're like, yeah, sure, man. Go for it. But yeah, someone must have spotted it and told the TD, and the TDs looked at it. And yeah, so I don't know. I'd be interested to see how he got pulled up on it, because if a card mate didn't tell him, I don't know, like, can you get pulled up from a camera?
Yeah, well, who knows? The whole Cassie thing comes back to mind a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think, I guess my loose understanding would be, like, once the TD's aware, he can't conveniently be unaware. Okay. So, like I feel like the TD's probably forced to act, forced to make a decision once he's aware. How that comes to his knowledge, I don't know. But I get, like, I'd like to think any TD, you, like, what with knowledge of a misplay, you have to enforce the rules, don't you? Like,
yeah, probably. If you go up and ask Bainey about it and he tells you what he did, then you're like, okay, well, that was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think apparently a few people must have misplayed hole 18. So not just that, but it was like any out of bounds off the tee went to the drop zone. And people weren't necessarily doing that. Like, if you threw it and it went inbounds and then went out of bounds left or right, people were just taking their meter.
Yep.
So yeah, weird. It was really clear on the caddy book. So people just weren't reading it. I think, yeah, one of the MP40 guys definitely got a penalty for that, Michael Yu. And who are we? Had Ryan Deere and Mikey Hare both copped a 2-stroke penalty for showing up
for the Ricky Wysocki. Yeah,
4 minutes early instead of five, because apparently it's an, you know, for the pros only, it was an A tier.
Yep.
And that meant that this rule's in effect. So I don't understand why. Well, it's a dumb rule. There's nothing we can do about it. But, like, I don't get why they're A tiers. Do you? Like, what's the appeal of having it as an A tier?
No idea. More PGA points.
Yeah, but, like, what
if we're all so hungry for?
Yeah, what do we? Does anyone use that for anything? Like, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm not really sure what the go with that is.
It just forces you, like, it forces you to add cash as a TD. Like, I wonder if there's a way, like, I'd much rather, like, added cash be a B, like, and still be a B tier. Like, awesome. Have a great payout, but it doesn't mean you have to be an A tier if it brings in all these, like, if it brings in additional annoying rules.
Agreed. And yeah, the added cash is just another factor. Whatever, I can't find the full cash payout thing, but it was like $2,000 added cash or more for the MPO and the MP40. This event must have cost a fortune. The ADG must have taken a huge hit on this. So there was only 125 players and it was only $200 entry. You know, even if it's 250, what's that, like $3,000?
Yeah.
Or something crazy like that. Nah, that'd be way more than that. But anyway, Yeah, the payouts were huge. If someone added up what they were, plus whatever the costs were to be to, you know, get all the rest of the shit for the event, the filming stuff, that live shit ain't cheap, I'm sure. And then there's had to have been, like, the TD, I'm sure, is getting paid for this, and there would have been other paid events. This must have been a massive black hole for the ADG. I cannot imagine a world in which it didn't. And if it had got 100, had got 300 people like it has a couple of years, they might have been all right. But it didn't.
MPO paid out at 235%, and MP40 paid out at 226% of entry fees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's wild, man.
But I mean, they're the mining state. Like, they might have just got sponsored by, like, Blue Steel or whatever, and it might have cost them nothing. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. I think it cost the ADG a fortune. Yeah, that would be my that would be my guess. but anyway, good on them. Blake won like $1,000 US. What's that, like $1,700?
Yeah. That's a one-way flight to New Zealand.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah.
And Ryan Johnson gets it done in MP40. So we've gone from a first-time national champion to Ryan Johnson's, what, 3 out of the last 4?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Very impressive. So gets it done by just a stroke over Patrick Wilson. Nice, tidy payday there for Ryan Johnson as well. Michael Yu, so who was the highest rated player, just was really slow out of the gates and then clawed his way back in a little to get up to fifth. But that was a bit of a surprising one. But also tied at fifth was our boy. Look at Jazz making cash.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to be the feel-good story of the tournament for sure.
Yep, done.
So, yeah, Jarrett Sweet, we talked about it, like he could easily come first and he could easily come last, and instead he kind of came just above the middle. And, yeah, equal fifth place and takes home cash. This is his first event in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, millennial, yeah.
Love to see it. Tidy event, too. Final round let him down, but other than that, he was looking good. So, hopefully this means we see more of the big fella. That would excite me. Cassie gets $200 for showing up. I don't understand that. That's crazy. She's got all her money back. Division of One, just play FA1.
Yeah.
Just play FA1. I don't get it. Like, she would have had to have been given a trophy and probably thanked her sponsors, and I don't know. I couldn't do it. Like, could you, if you were the only one in MP40, would you just switch divisions?
Yeah,
or would you just probably take your money back?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Oz Champs. Like, I feel like at most events, I'm looking for competition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To be honest, I feel like there's a bit of a pass at Oz Champs. Like,
okay.
Like, it should be the biggest event. Like, she shouldn't have to play in amateur division. Like, and she just so happens that there were no pros in FPO and no pros in FP40. Now, like, I don't know, like, whether or not, you know, if there was FPOs, if she would have played in that division.
No chance.
Okay, but that being said, like, well, I'm giving her a pass on this one because, like, it's not really on her. No other pros rocked up. She should be allowed to play pro.
There you go. Well, now she's like 12-time Australian champion.
Yeah, so correct.
No one, she's going to set a record that no one's ever going to be able to hunt down.
No.
MA1, how did that shake out? This was spicy.
Oh, hectic, wasn't it? Hectic.
Yeah.
This is big. We called for it, we demanded it, and we got it. But God, did it get spicy. God, did it get spicy down the stretch. Who was in the gates, in the sheds? Was that Jesse?
I believe so. I think Jesse had holes left or something, like done before Kalen and Andrew.
Yeah.
The only ones really in the mix there. And he was, one back, I think, of Kalen with 2 holes to play.
Yeah. So, Kalen needed to either par out or find a birdie, and the sick cunt found a birdie on 18 and gets it done by 2 strokes. Back-to-back Australian champs from MA2 Victor to MA1 Victor just 12 months later. That's
really good.
I mean, that's good. It's really good. As much as it might pain us to say it, that's like pretty impressive shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, super impressive by him. Crazy. I don't know why he even putted the... How close he was for the birdie putter on 18?
Oh, he was like 7 or 8 meters. Just lay C1.
It up. Just lay it up. Just lay it up. What do you do?
Yeah.
I can't... Oh, he's wild. That's crazy.
I can't actually tell you how far he was because he's another one of these twats that don't take stats.
He does. He took stats.
Round 4.
Oh, yeah, every other round I know he did because I looked at it every round. I was like, his putting was really good.
Yeah. Round 4 of all the rounds, I guess he wanted to lock in, but gotcha. He did not take stats round 4.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, gets it done by 2 strokes over Jesse Champness and Andrew Young Jackaway in 3rd. Decent start, and then got a bit better in the middle, but just couldn't come home in the end. But a way better performance than he had at his home tournament at Eruption. So good to see him back and up there. And Joe Paul was the one battling with Kalen from the start. I think had the lead, lost the lead, got the lead back, and then put in a sub 900 rated round in round 4. It's not what you needed.
No.
A cool 9 strokes difference from Kalen. So put himself all the way down into 7th. He'd be disappointed with that, the young fella. He'd be very disappointed with that.
Hundo! That was a good battle all weekend, though. And they were going backwards and forwards on socials as well.
Oh, really?
Sick. Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, there they go. Kalen, MA1 champ in the house. 1 for Victoria. Let's go. Yeah.
There was a nice battle going in the FA1 as well, too. So
I tipped this.
You did, yeah. You had Leah Manning.
Yeah.
So she got it done with 2 strokes. Over Sarah Champness and a couple more back to Signe Trommel.
And one stroke in front of Cassie for Leah Manning.
Yeah, there you go. So the best female score for the weekend. So that's cool. Yep. Yeah, see, that would have been a good battle. Anyway. Anita Weber rolling into 4th place as well, which is really cool to see. But some pretty quality disc golf out of Leah, real slow out of the gates, but then came home very, very strong in the final 3 rounds.
Yep. And gets the chocolates, hometown, roughly enough, I'm pretty sure. Either the TD and the TD's sister-in-law.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Well, there you go. MA40, we didn't pick this, did we? Do we have him on our radar?
No.
No. So we had JC, but he got severely outclassed by David Briggs and 4 strokes ahead there of Matt Beard. They were both under par and 9 strokes back to JC, who was not. Al Don, I think, had the lead after round 1 and just kind of forgot that he was last year's sneaky MA40 champion.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he just going to do this again?
Yeah.
But a nice event for him, finishing in the top 4, podium, which was good to see.
That.
Equal 3rd, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave Briggs just smoked him and Matty Beard. Our boy Vito put up a pretty good fight, though. He batted above his average there and got up into 5th, so well done, Jace. Not so good for the Victorians, though. Lee Thompson down there and honorary Victorian Jay Ross in 8th, so not ideal.
Yeah.
Did you pick this as well in FA40?
Let's have a quick gander.
Probably. She's way high rated.
Yeah,
Joan McCamish gets it done over our very own Margaret Trail. So Joanne's, she's one to reckon with now in FA40.
Absolutely. That's tidy weekend. Really solid final round. Just the 2 bogeys and 1 birdie, stands out when comparing to the other rounds, especially even if you compare it to the other round on the same course. There was no birdies and a bunch of bogeys.
So, yeah, cool. Joanne, 100 rate points higher in round 4 than round 2.
Well done, Joanne. MA50.
Yeah, I think I picked this one a tournament too late. It's definitely who I picked for the Eruption, and I feel like I might have thrown him out there. Lotus Kingston typically when Lotus plays, he wins. The MA50 boys don't like him that much, I can tell you that.
Yep.
And, yeah, he got it done by 9 strokes. He was, above 900 rated, so and above his rating every single round. And there was just no catching him. Michael Cansey put up a fight, but 7 strokes back of that. And Eanzy, the eruption champion, 10 strokes back of Lotus, but still a pretty tidy tournament. And, gets into the podium. So, well done, Eamesy Eames.
Big. FA50, Janet Cartwright ran away with this, went in with a bit of a ratings nod over Tanya Lian, but Tanya Lian couldn't keep up with Tanya Behan, who ends up getting second place. So well done, Tanya. But yeah, Janet, comfortable winner.
Tan on the bag for Dave Perry all weekend DP, as well.
Trying to go back to back as the caddy from last year's success.
And her and Eamesy had their Drollers tie-dye tops on. Loved for one it. Of the rounds. It was great to see.
Yeah, they look real good, real good.
Jeff Helbrin, who I have no idea who that is, he takes out MA2 by a stroke over Travis Hugh. And another one back for Sean Dobbsy. Our boy Tim Stevenson, DNF. So I'm not sure what happened with that.
Yeah, after a couple of rounds, I think. I didn't even think he played round 3.
Nah, so I was going to reach out and I forgot. But, not so good there, Timmy boy. And Kate Eldridge gets it done over Julie O'Donoghue by about 1,000.
So yes.
Kate racks up wins. FA2s. That's her division.
Yes. MA3, you familiar with this chap?
No, I got to imagine it's Jan Sia.
Yes, possibly.
Because I don't reckon we're rolling with
Jan. Sounds like a fancy wine.
Yeah, it does. Full-bodied red.
Yeah.
But yeah, looks like they had a huge win.
It does. Just a casual near 50 rating points above their rating. But he was the rating big dog pre-event as well. So possibly tipped by many for anyone that cared about MA3 at the Nationals.
Tobias Webber gets a 4th place nod there, which was cool to see.
FA3, wow. Grace gets it done. And then this is where it was at. They only got to play 2 rounds, which is just shortchanged. Absolutely shortchanged.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Won't happen again at another Nationals until it's in Perth.
no, I think that's what they do now. I think they just play 2 for juniors.
Why?
I don't know. They ditched MA4 and they tell juniors. They're just trying to not get people to play.
Yeah.
I guess. No, I don't know. Sorry, keep going.
I don't know. But anyway, congratulations, Marcus Davies, our number one fan, and we're his number one fan. 9:15 event, 58 rating points above rating. Not his best round one, but backed it up with a neg 5 round 2 and takes it out by 8 strokes over Tasman Shaw.
Mm-hmm. Now, what we won't see is Marky in a juniors ever again at Nationals. I hope, anyway. That neg 5 would have put him in 2nd place in MA3 and give him another year, and he's going to win that one easily, if not jumping into MA2. That's what we want to see anyway.
2nd place with 2 rounds up his sleeve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, true. It,
yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, silly, yeah. Silly.
Yeah.
Grace Irwin, though, I believe, which we you mentioned her for FA3. I think that is the lovely partner of Maddie G. So okay, he's got her involved, and now she's killing it. So that was cool.
Awesome. Good job.
That was Nationals. Was there anything else that really jumped out at you from any of the stuff that you saw or heard?
Yeah, of course.
Let us know.
Fucking old mate, Ryan Hart.
What's he done? Oh,
what hasn't he done?
Yeah, true. Sorry.
The kid's cooked.
He's so cooked.
The kid's cooked. He had, how many eagles did he end up for the weekend? Was it 3 so or 4?
Many. It's so many. He had back-to-back eagles.
Yeah.
He's messed up.
Yeah, so he's ended up with 3 eagles for the weekend. I can't find a single other eagle for anyone in the entire event. And a one-man soldier has got 3 eagles. Like, what is actually going on?
And he almost aced one. It was a chain out. And,
yeah, nearly an albatross ace. So, like, yeah, he's bloody on a 548-foot hole has, like, hit the cage and tapped in for eagle. Admittedly, on his other one that round, it was a 152-foot throw-in. Yeah. I wish I was not in feet right now. And then in the other round where he copped the eagle, I think it was also
a spicy throw-in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the one that he almost aced was that over-the-top one. You know that one where they just throw a fat annie, and I've never played the hole, so I just don't understand the logistics of it.
What's going on, yeah.
Park should have done the drone fly through over the top. That would have been good.
Hole nine, hang on. Sorry. Hole nine. I wish I knew how to turn bloody Imperial system off here. But anyway, when he eagled at round one after taking a 10 on hole one, let's not fast forward past that. He had a 425-foot throw-in.
Jesus, what?
On a 490-foot hole. So he's completely fucked the drive.
He's so gross.
And gone 70 feet, which is nowhere, and then thrown in for eagle from 425 feet.
He's disgusting.
What the fuck? So, yeah, something else stood out to me. Reinhardt. And he nearly, God, he was working hard for my throwers guarantee.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Did he get it?
No.
Shame.
By a stroke.
By a stroke.
Carell goes birdie to finish.
That's and tough.
Knocks Reinhardt off 8. She was a roller coaster.
Yeah. So, no points for you, and Kalen won, which means he beat Andrew Young, Jack away, but it was a bit of a roller coaster too for someone who led the whole way.
Yeah.
It got very tight, very spicy, and I think going into the final round, Kalen was only ahead by like 1 stroke, and Ryan was well in the top 8. And I was like, oh, how am I going to fucking lose this? This is bullshit. But that means that for the second time in a row, I take out the Thrawler's Guarantee. And I'm really starting to think that first one that you won was a fluke.
Yeah, possibly. So
I'm the one with the finger and the pulse for Melbourne Disc Golf.
100%. Congratulations. A deserved winner. I have nothing but flowers for your efforts.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We'll have to start another one next season or something when we start playing a bit more disc golf again.
Yeah, correct.
Before we do move on, so I think I'd said on the last pod that I wasn't really excited by the course. I'd watched it at the Team Worlds and it just didn't really interest me. And I have since changed my mind. I think you were in the same camp as me. What have you changed your mind? Are you still in that camp?
Am I into WIFT diff events? Is that the question?
No, the course. The course that they played. I remember watching the world teams and just being like, I don't know. I'm not excited to go play it.
Yeah. I'm probably still a bit indifferent, to be honest. It's just not on my like radar to ever make the effort to go to WA to play disc golf. So I'm just like, I'm not going to fall in love with that place because I'm never going to go there.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. But yeah, I think maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention during the world teams. I don't know. But I did quite enjoy it. I still like the visuals aren't great. It's so brown. You know what I mean? It's not green or nice in any way. So that kind of throws you off. And like Invalid's similar boat, but I know those holes and I like them. So it's like, I feel like that fixes it for me mentally. But so I did like, it's hard to be visually appealing, but I really liked the shot shapes. There wasn't just a lot of like, you know, highs of this, highs of that. And it is kind of open. It's a golf course thing, but it seemed like there was a lot of cool looking shapes that you had to throw. And I was like, yeah, I think I'd enjoy that. More so the old one, not the newest one. That seems just a bit more punishing. But I feel like the one they play round two and round four had a lot of really cool, fun holes. So, and that hole 18 finishing hole is really good. It's really good, but on both layouts, I think. So, yeah, I retract my original statement. I feel like I maybe just hadn't seen enough of it. But it looked really good. And I heard good things about it from people who played. So, yeah, if you can, try to get over there. But, yeah, I'll probably never get over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to just, like, force a segue here. It's not in our run sheet. But I've got mail, and I absolutely just don't know how I remembered that I got mail. But I'm very thrilled that I did. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it verbatim. Yeah. Okay. I know about the pineapple truck.
Oh, yes. Let's go. Let's go.
Al and I were talking about Mitch's slightly more than fine form on one of the nights at the football club. Oh. He was talking in riddles, and I gave Alan an example of a nonsensical riddle that sounded like one of Mitch's conversation icebreakers at the time. And the riddle is, how many pineapples are on a truck? Now, after a few failed attempts of calling me on Google Meets during the ace race, he left the place in a healthy amount of bewilderment, a full belly, and a smile on his dial. I love that man. And I actually know the answer to the riddle.
Yes.
So, how many pineapples are on a truck, Alan? I'll give you one last shot.
1,143.
Nah, mate. There is a truckload.
There you go. Oh, that's gold. Yeah,
Do you know who's messaged me? Did any of that ring a bell? Do you know who's even sent me this?
No, like Mitch was up and about, but I was pretty up and about at the footy club as well.
It was not Mitch. It was not Mitch.
Yeah. You said it's someone like who was trying to talk to Mitch. I can't remember who was there. Alex Ritchie?
No. Was David Gannon.
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't remember any of that. I honestly don't remember any part of that, but it was written on the run sheet, so that's so good. I'm very glad Dave told us that.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I got the answer. That's nice.
There we go. Thank you, listeners. So that was a good shout out by you calling for help, and I'm glad David listened, obviously, and reached out. But he reached out last week, and I near full forgot. So that was big by me. That was clutch.
I like it.
Yeah.
We had a request for a segment from Zach James in for ACT, our mate over there, and it's a ripper. It's a great idea, and we've put a few together, and we will want to hear a few more suggestions from people. But he wanted to know some matchups, specifically one, which we'll get to in a second. But in a year's time, you know, who will be rated higher? Player A or player B?
Yeah.
So we've put a bit of a list together. I'm going to ask, and then I'm going to do my pick. You're going to do your pick. And in a year's time, we're going to check and see how smart we are and how much of a Nostradamus we are. And I think we have to do you and I, because you are predicting yourself to take a drop.
A dive, yes.
And I have consistently been going up with inflation.
Yes.
I'm just, you know, it's how much is a bottle of milk costs? That's how much rating I go up every year.
Yep.
And you're about 10 ahead of me now. So we're at the perfect impasse where, you know, a few up for me and a few down for you could be big.
Yep.
So who is your pick in a year's time? Who is higher rated, you or me?
Chris Ronalds.
Well, I gotta pick me.
Yes, good.
I'm not real confident about it, but I gotta pick. I feel like I might be 933 rated by the end of next year.
Okay.
And you'll probably still be like 940 rated, so probably.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. A 990 is me goal. 919 is me goal, but I'll wait until after 12 months to reach that goal.
Yeah, okay. This is the matchup that spurred it on. This is what he wanted us specifically to go for, and it's so
juicy. It's so good. Yep.
So we got Kalen versus Penn in a year's time. Who is higher rated? I'm backing in Penn. I think Kalen's going to take a good jump, but I think Penn's still going to steadily increase. And I reckon Kalen might get to where Penn is now, but Penn will be 10 ahead of that.
Gone, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I definitely agree with some of that. I definitely think Kalen's will be more of a roller coaster over the next 12 months. I think there will be moments. I think there's absolutely a chance where there'll be moments where Kalen might just have like a sick month and get real close. But as it all shakes out, I'm also going to tip Penn.
There you go.
Yeah.
Spicy. That's good because they'll both like that too. That'll both be on there. Like they do goals lists. Their goals will just be right rated the other. Well, yeah. Penn's might not because Penn probably just already thinks he's above that. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
This was your suggestion here. You've got Mikey Hare versus Paddy
Robinson.
Robinson. I was like Paddy Ronalds, and I'm like, no. Paddy Robinson. You go. We'll alternate. Who do you think, Paddy or Mikey?
So 971 for Mikey at the moment. 980 for Paddy. Does Paddy have any growth left in him? I'm not sure he does. Can Mikey Hare get there in the next 12 months? I think he can. I'm going to back in Mikey.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I just like it. He's on his way up and he's just keeping on playing. And
he's just good.
Paddy's just getting more and more of a dad.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to go with Mikey as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got MJ15 champion, Marky Davies, who's currently about 850, but fuck all rounds in his system, versus a stalwart of the game, multiple-time MA40 winner, Taron Anderson.
This is such a good one.
I love it. Taron's been chilling at 900 adjacent.
Yep.
I imagine this time next year, Taron will be 900-ish.
Yep.
And Marky, can he get to that? I think he's going to play a lot of events this year. There'll be a few over the Summer Cup. And it might just be a bridge too far, like, because he might have a few little subpar-y ones here. It's tough. I was thinking one thing, but I'm going to go the other. I'm going to take Taron.
I'm taking
Taron.
Yeah. Nah, it is. This is, like, the more I think about it, this is probably the one that'll end up the tightest. Like
it's going to be good. Like is Marky going to be 908 rated at the end of the next year?
Yeah. This is such a great question. So he's just played at 915 nationals. Like, let's just off the bat, I think we agree on this. It's inevitable. Like,
yeah. In two years, let's not talk about it. But
it's not even it's a non-event if we're talking 2 years. It's probably a non-event if we're talking 18 months. But at 12 months, it's just whether or not he can find 50 rating points. That means going up by 5, basically, every month.
Yeah, but it's not, it's like, because most of those will be gone. So he just basically, if he can, he needs to play 900 golf from now to the end of the year.
I'm going to go with Marky Davies he just needs some cheeky PDJ events to be played at his tracks. And he'll play 900 golf. I'm going Marcus Davies.
Big. I like it.
So now a tie is possible between us.
Yeah. Another reason why I went with Tarrant because I was like, this one's going to be close and I got to start. I don't want us all to pick the exact same things.
Yeah.
This one will be interesting. So, Tim Bohan, the guardian of MPO versus the man who wanted this list, Zach James. I think Timmy B's got him by 6 or 7 now off without looking. And they're pretty close.
They are very close. So Bowen is 8. That's Terry. Tim is 9.67.
Yep.
And James is 9.62.
Yeah, five. Nine, there we go.
Yeah.
There you go. What about in a year's time? What do you think?
Zach James.
Whoa. I'm going to stick with Tim only because he has quit playing cold weather disc golf. Like, he's real leaning into just playing when it feels like it's nice.
Yep.
And I reckon that might help him out.
Yep.
All right, this was a good one by you. It was Darren Stace Smith, our boy, versus Leo Dykes.
Mm-hmm.
Leo, is he done with school yet, Leo? Or has he got another year of study coming in late next year?
No idea.
I think I have to just back the youth. I'm going with Leo.
They are dead tired at the moment. Yep. And you're going to back in the youth to get it done.
Yep, sorry, Jazz. I know he doesn't care about my opinion, so it's fine, but I'm taking
Darren
Leo.
Darren Stace Smith, 9.57, double dad. Well, this is another good matchup. This is such a good game. I look forward to seeing people's tips who are playing along at home. I'm going to have to go. He just played well at Gambia. If it wasn't for Gambia, I'm just like pulling the trigger on Darren.
He played so good at Gambia. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did that come from? Is he actually a good, is he actually a top five sidearm? I'm going Leo Dykes.
Leo as well? All right.
Yeah.
We got Marcus Volota. So we've got Vil versus Ryan Deer. Little Deeros. Been a good battle all year. Marcus had the hot stretch kind of in the middle, and he's just a social day demon.
He is.
But I feel like Deeros is going to show up more on the big stages. I'm not really counting the nationals. He showed up the night before and then just came up and raw dogged it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he copped a penalty. And I think I'm taking Deer.
Ooh, I'm taking Bill.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right, good. We got a split.
We got a few mixtures.
And then Blake Houston versus Dave Perry.
I'm recency bias maybe, but I'm Houston.
Yeah, the seal. I thought it was a good matchup originally when I put it down, and now I'm not so sure. The ceiling's just so hot.
Yeah.
Have we got a better matchup for Dave or Blake, or do we just roll with this and both take Blake?
Nah, we don't actually, for neither of those. I think David is second highest rated in the country in 12 months, and I think Blake is the highest rated in the country in 12 months.
Let's go with that, and we'll see we'll see what happens. Yep. And we had to include a couple chumps, and we've gone with Zach Schleff and Alex Ritchie. Both very close at the moment. And Zach hasn't done much in the PDGA lately, but he's all of a sudden balling a bit at these social days. And Alex Ritchie is on the up and up as well. So this could be a bit of a, you know, who is MA2 champion next year sort of setup.
This is a good one. They are only separated by one at the moment, and they are both keen to improve.
I'm going to take Alex.
I'm going to take Zach.
All right, nice. Yeah, well, we got
a few. We started like doubling up, but we end up going some Harveys in the end.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, so for those listening at home, just send in your picks. I'll put them on my spreadsheet and we'll try to revisit it in a year's time. And if anyone's got a few more juicy matchups, we will add them in. We don't need 30 of them, but we can add in a few more if we've got some good ones. So let us know.
For shiz.
But yeah, that was very good. That was I very much enjoyed that by Zach. Good good suggestion.
Yes.
All right, you've had someone send in something to you as well. And
yeah.
What is that?
It's a hard segment to back onto because this was also a suggestion. And I don't think it's as interesting. But I'm keen. I'm keen to dive into it, and I'm keen to get some insight scooped. I feel like there's a bit of knowledge that we don't know. But this is an anonymous message coming in saying, is having a cash prize at a league day considered gambling, and should it be allowed or not?
It's very interesting. It's very interesting. I don't know what the rules are at all. But I kind of think that nothing we do is very important in the disc golf world, and especially at a league, like there's not that many people rolling up to them. So I say no. I think it's like, it's kind of more like the sweeps for Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that gambling? Sure. But is it?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like it is, yeah. But it. You know what I mean? No one's going. Hey, I heard you guys had a $15 sweeps at your barbecue. Like, that's illegal, mate.
Yep.
I know this is more formal, and you know, but I yeah, not it's not for me. What are your thoughts?
Interestingly. I subscribe to Tour Life, and essentially the Disc Golf Pro Tour is gambling. And every PDGA event that we play is gambling. Like, and it's very rare that there's obviously added cash into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So you were literally just like putting cash in and like winner takes all gamble styles. And so I don't like if it is gambling, like it's no more gambling than what we do at any other sanctioned PDGA event.
Yeah.
And yeah, Brody and Yuli would say that, you know, even what's going on at the Pro Tour is just a form of gambling. Until it's free to play and then it's cash prizes, then it's not gambling. But that's just not our world.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I think they should bring it to Stony.
Yeah, fuck off.
And I want to gamble at Stony and only Stony, yeah, if I may.
Yeah, no shit.
So I do have questions, Amar. I do have, like Aiden, obviously, like, the reality is fucking hanging on. We can't, Aiden obviously takes the piss at Glow and takes cash frequently, and the tax office is probably onto him. And I guess my only question mark would be for some of these Geelong Dragons is just like, whose idea was it? And if it's their Aiden equivalent, it's like, hey, let's put cash in every week and like, you know, just see who wins. Then I'm a bit like, oh, fuck off, mate. Like, I don't want to pay you every month. So that's a little asterisk for me as well.
Yeah.
But it could be the case that the person, you know, the brains behind it might be, you know, no one that's taken money home. And so, and they're just like, yeah, let's just add a bit of spice. And we don't mind a bit of spice. We throw cash in for all sorts of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like if it's fucking 100 buck entry, it's a bit different. But I'm sure it's not. And I'm sure there's not that many people playing. So it's like, yeah, I think it'd be fine. And I think Aiden's kind of done winning. I haven't seen him win in a minute. Maybe I haven't been paying that much attention, but I think I keep seeing a lot of different names popping up on a Tuesday. So he needs to lift his game, I think.
There you go.
Get his rep back.
Yep.
All right. I think all we got left now is Spotlight, Not Light.
Big.
Excellent. Big.
It's been a long one. Let's do it.
It has. Have you got anything?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've probably got the same thing.
No, we
don't have the same thing.
I'm obviously missed something big.
Oh, you have. All right. I was going to take the piss, but given that you haven't seen this, I won't take the piss. Honourable mention: spotlight can go to the Australian cricket team for panting England. Yep. But that's not my real spotlight. My real spotlight has to go to none other. I can't believe you missed this, and it'll ring a bell in a second. Paul and Penn for their negating Paul Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very good. I did see that, actually. Good call.
Yeah, negating at Bald Hill. Their only par was 17, and they eagled 3. Birdie, then eagle, and then birdies all the way through to 17, where they got a par, and then a birdie on 18.
Big.
Just like Juan Rata and Nick Valentini, you know, coming with a spicy neg 15, probably feeling real good about themselves.
Smart.
Just to get done by 3 strokes. So they are the new big dogs. Best Bald Hill doubles performances of all time. The takeaway is we are better than Aiden. His reign has ended, and he'll lose sleep tonight. That is my actual spotlight. Well done, Penn and Paul.
Nice. I love that. I've got an honourable mention spotlight that involves the cricket as well. Didn't watch a ball, don't give a shit. But because it was over in 2 days, there was apparently just like a shit ton of milk, eggs, like just food at Optus Stadium, just ready to go for the next 3 days. And they just had to donate it. Well, they'd have to, but they donated all of it, just pallets and pallets of the shit to like the local food banks.
Oh, that's good.
So that was good to see. Apparently, they must do that, day 5 or, you know, whatever's left. But this was the biggest one they've ever done because they had 3 more days of supplies to go. So.
Yeah, of course they did.
But my actual spotlight has to go to Ash Widener. Something that I stumbled across. I don't know how long it's been here, but he was popping up a lot on one of the many, many chats. And I was like, fuck, his profile picture kind of looks very, very familiar.
Have we not done this on the pod?
Have we? No, not that I'm aware of, unless I'm crazy.
Carry on.
Ash is, I should have looked at closer to this. He's either green screened or he's just gone to the same.
No, he's just gone to the same spot.
He's gone to the exact same spot that Vil took his photo of him chilling in front of the Sydney Opera House, and Ash has the exact same pose and just the exact same aura about him, I would say. And that is his profile picture, and I've never noticed it. It must have been around for a while, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's very funny. Ash, obviously, very funny man. I think you've shortchanged him. More aura in Ash's photo than Bill's. Just what a boss move. And like, we obviously haven't done it on the pod, but it blew up in some group chat. When he did it, he just like let people know.
Yeah,
I just happened to be in Sydney this weekend, thought I'd get a photo right here.
I loved it. That was great. So that, my spotlight goes to Ash.
So good. My not light has to go to the English cricket team. just... But how do they find a way to lose? I'm like, nothing makes me happier. And I know there are some listeners that love cricket. They're probably maybe not as nuffy as me, but there's just nothing brings me more joy than watching England find a way to lose a game that's like unlosable from the position they were in. And I could not have just been lighter on my feet all weekend after that unfolded. I don't know what I got more joy out of, like watching like Australian commentators like wrap it up and their reactions to the event, or watching English commentators just lose their fucking mind around like how did they lose that match. It just so much pleasure. It's my most positive not light I've ever had.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll throw this out because I don't think we probably didn't talk about it too much during the Nationals thing too. But yeah, another honourable mention goes to the Parks crew. Another sick job of filming and great work on the comms by the boys all around.
And they were doing that remotely. Yeah, they were in Victoria for sure.
Yeah, they were. And Ash living out his little cricket fantasy by sticking his keys in the dirt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Dickhead. But no, great work by the park crew. It was awesome. So very much enjoyed that. But yeah, my not light goes to any player who wears international jerseys. So I've never represented Australia for disc golf, so I've never gone to the teams thing. They all love it. They all just take their shirts off and swap them around, and it's a whole big thing. Oh, I got mine from this day, so I got... they make a whole bunch of extras to be able to do this. I don't get that. Maybe I don't have enough spirit. I don't know. And then what I definitely don't get is coming back in here and wearing an England jersey and a Ukraine jersey and a whoever gives a shit jersey. They all do it. They all do it. All those dudes who go out, and it's like, I don't know, just wear your Australia one. Like, that's who you played for. You didn't play for England.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it. I might be the only one, but I just don't like it. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm not as passionate about it as you. It hadn't really bothered me, but I'm obviously full enough. Watching DP tee off with the fucking English jersey when the Ashes played was un-Australian.
That's crazy.
Was absolutely un-Australian. And I was not here for that. Yeah. I was not here for that.
That is what triggered it for me. And then I was just like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Dave, that was as bad as you could have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no good. All right, cool. Well, long pod. Thanks for sticking with us. And, a couple of listener interaction things. So send us in your tips and whatnot. And, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.